Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin, who's our nutritionist in residence, and we're answering your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. Isn't that handy? Radio program at AOL.com. So, what's our next question, Layla?
We've got an email from Mark. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I'm a 57-year-old white male with no known illnesses, no prescription medications. I work out daily, cardio and weights. I'm about 20 pounds overweight, and I'm having a really hard time losing weight. I eat a keto diet for years now and almost never cheat. I'm wondering if my TSH levels could be contributing to my being overweight or having difficulty losing weight.
Let's comment on that scenario.
Yeah.
This guy seems to be doing a lot of the things right.
Yeah.
He's exercising with cardio.
Daily. Cardio and weights.
Strength. Mm-hmm. And he's on a very low-carb diet.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on a keto diet.
Is it possible that this guy could still remain overweight?
Yeah. Well, let's first talk. He sent us his TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone,
right,
levels over the last 4 years or so, from 2015. In 2015, it was a 2.5. 2016, it was almost a 3. 2017, it was a 2.5 again. In February of this year, it was 2.05. But in August, just last month, it was 2.45.
So these are all normal TSHs, all right? And they're not even that borderline. I mean, conventional medicine will say a 5 or a 4.5 would constitute an elevated TSH. By the way,
yeah,
TSH is higher when your thyroid is low.
Yes.
Because it goes up to try and
stimulate
signal
the thyroid yeah,
when the thyroid is weak. So it's a response to a low thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, I'll just say parenthetically that we don't always treat to the TSH. We might look at the clinical picture.
Yeah.
If this person is extremely tired, lethargic, depressed, freezing all the time,
mm-hmm,
they might benefit from a trial of natural thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, conventional endocrinologists would dispute that. They say that the criteria have been set up properly to screen out people who really need thyroid and people who don't. But it's a little bit of a subjective assessment mm-hmm, when it comes to who needs thyroid. But here's the problem. I have seen many patients with clinical hyperthyroidism, mm-hmm, hyper, and their own thyroid is out of control, and they're overproducing thyroid, and they're overweight.
Yeah.
So thyroid is not a infallible way to get people to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, doctors in the past, some doctors and patients have used thyroid as a legal form of amphetamine or speed to accelerate their metabolism. And
that'll cause tachycardia.
By the way,
bone mineral density. Yes.
Let's reply to that question. One of the most common causes in a 63-year-old who was part one last time, of tachycardia is an out-of-control thyroid, hyperthyroidism.
Right.
So that has to be ruled out. So just, we're free associating here. Coming back to the weight issue, just loading people with thyroid isn't always going to make them thin or make them lose weight.
Yeah.
So, I have coined a phrase. I hope you haven't heard it too recently because I hate belaboring stuff that I've said in the past. You may have heard this. But to paraphrase the Simon Garfunkel song, there are
at least 50 ways to keep your blubber. The body has redundant systems that want to keep us fat. And some people are genetically prone to that. Mm-hmm. And in spite of their best efforts, they can only get sort of metabolically healthy, but by the tables overweight.
Yeah.
You know, so this guy, I don't know by what assessment he has decided he's overweight. I presume he's right that he's overweight, but, you know, we might do a body composition and see his lean to fat ratio and see that he's accumulating more fat.
Yeah.
More interestingly, it'd be interesting to do the new types of genetic analysis that we now do on patients, where we might see if he has some real obesity genes, and we might say to him, hey, you know, you can do the best you can, and God and nature will vote and give you the body, the best, you know, it's like
the army,
be all that you can be, you know, the best that you can be.
Yeah.
Under the circumstances where genetically, if you didn't do all these things, you would be really overweight, have cardiovascular disease, and be diabetic.
Yeah.
So, and we had, I mean, we are a magnet for these types of patients. You know, people don't come to us like, first off, try to lose weight. Usually people come to us after,
because they've tried everything and they don't know what's up.
20 times trying to lose weight. Like, what mysterious factor have we missed? You know, because there's a lot of media now. It's not like there's these secrets or hidden secrets about how to lose weight.
Right. Like, Mark says he's on a keto diet, and we'll have patients say, but I've been doing a keto diet and I'm not losing weight. And upon further look, closer look at what they're eating, now you're really not doing a keto diet. This is too much protein.
It's a dirty keto.
Dirty keto, or it's too much protein. That's turning to blood sugar. It's too many calories. It does not give you license to have an 18-ounce steak. You don't need an 18-ounce steak.
And the other thing to try maybe is some intermittent fasting, some time-restricted eating.
Yeah.
This could make a difference, too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what about the magic vitamins that make your pounds melt off? Plus, tell our listeners about this.
Oh, well, if there is magic. No, here's the thing.
That's a trick question.
That was a trick question. Good. Things that can help thyroid, zinc, selenium, avoidance of soy, but
I would
what
say,
about the other thyroid numbers that we don't know?
Yeah, but I would say, we would look at T3 and free T3, you know, other things. The other thing that happens to men around this age, sometimes they drop their testosterone, and sometimes that causes a plumping, you know, or they may aromatize their testosterone to estrogen, which causes a more female fat distribution. That happens pretty often in 40-somethings. So we might look at that and do a little bit of an evaluation on this guy. I mean, I would say to a guy like this, if you came here, you're coming a little on a wing and a prayer. You know, we might discover something, but we might not. We might end up at the end of the day say, hey, you know, you're really healthy. Your coronary arteries are clear. Your blood sugar is excellent.
Right.
You just, you know, you look a little chunkier than you'd like to be. I'm sorry.
Right. And a body composition will tell us further whether you're metabolically obese or not. And let's see if you're doing the diet correctly.
Right.
That's the thing I would evaluate.
A little bit like that. I mean, he turned things around. So much of what's going on with him is better blood pressure.
Yes. Especially his blood pressure.
Energy. His lipids were down like 50 points.
Yeah.
But he was frustrated because he couldn't lose weight. Mm-hmm. And he exercises a lot. In fact, he teaches kids. He's like a coach and exercise proponent. You know that patient.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe what we'll say at the end of the day, you know, he'll lose a few pounds, but maybe he'll plateau, is that this is as good as it gets without some sort of draconian starvation program that won't be good for you anyway.
Right.
And, you know, thyroid, you know, I'm into thyroid, but I think sometimes even, you know, holistic doctors pull a trigger on anybody who's overweight, you know.
Right. You are not overzealous in your scrutiny of thyroid anything like that.
Because if we, in this field of integrative medicine, put everybody on massive amounts of thyroid, there's going to be a lot of blowback from conventional medicine that we have, you know, the Hippocratic Oath says, first, do no harm. And we want to do no harm. We want to help patients, but we don't want to submit them to potentially dangerous therapies, which can give them heart palpitations or osteoporosis, create more problems where none existed before.
Yeah. Mark, just a few diet tips. You've been doing a keto diet for years now. You almost never cheat. That's terrific. Continue. But are you having artificial sweeteners? That will keep the pounds on. That will still cause an insulin surge. Are you overdoing protein? That could still turn to blood sugar. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're eating too many nuts or too much cheese because these are keto-friendly foods.
Right.
You're entering the caloric stratosphere. It's very easy to go nuts over nuts, especially with the canister on your lap.
You can't pound the fat.
You can't. Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. Exactly. So have those things checked out as well.
And sometimes, you know, I get it. You get in a cycle of lots of exercise and when you're bulking up and you get really hungry. So it's a bit of a treadmill. And sometimes exercise less, you'd be less hungry.
That's true.
You know, it's like maybe too much exercise. But I would also caution that patients who want to lose weight do best when they go on more of an aerobic versus strength training thing.
Yeah.
Strength training tends to perpetuate weight.
Because muscle is more dense than fat, weighs more as well.
Also,
so cardio has to be part of the
equation. Makes your body think that you're pushing up against an immovable object. And in order to press up against an immovable object, you have to be heavier.
Right.
You see the strongman competitions.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these guys, and they're carrying, like, you know, 500-pound weights. You know, the farmer, it's called the farmer walk or something like that. I find those fascinating. Mm-hmm. Those guys are all huge.
Yeah.
Them and they're super strong.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, many of them are from, you know, Sweden or Eastern Europe or Russia, and some of them are from Midwest. They're like farm boys, you know, who are exceedingly strong, but they only do strength training. And they don't want to lose strength by doing aerobic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In my personal experience, when I stop running and doing aerobic stuff, and do strength training, I go up a suit size. It's like,
there you go.
Oh my God.
Because you're building muscle.
I'm no longer a 40, I'm a 42.
Right.
And then I look at scale, I'm up, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds. The solution to that is just go virtually aerobic or use HIIT. You know, use the battle ropes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can't run.
HIIT, high intensity interval training.
You know, just, you set a timer, use the battle ropes, get completely gassed, do that for 2 minutes at a time. You know, if you can't, do it for a minute at a time.
Yeah.
You know, just get your heart rate up really high.
Right.
And that's
sort of
fat burning thing.
You're walking at a fast pace. Okay. You're breathing deeply. Then break out into a sprint.
Well, you did an article on this about.
Yeah. On high intensity interval.
But an article, HIIT versus what?
Versus just steady state cardio.
Right.
Like for 45 minutes or an hour, you could get on that treadmill or go out for a run, you're doing your steady state. Or you could do HIIT, where you're only having to exercise for about maybe 20, 30 minutes, but you've got those intervals, which really
get your heart rate
up into
a
fat burning machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing a little more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at this point, let's pause because we're going to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you, and also support us by purchasing your high-quality supplements via FullScript. Let's hear what our next question is.
We have an email from Thelma. My left neck artery is 50% clogged. She means her carotid.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of diet changes should I be looking at? I'm allergic to onions and to garlic, and I am gluten-free for the most part. So taking me out of eating a lot of good foods is tough because my diet is slim anyway. My doctor is having me do chelation IVs with H2O2 IVs and an occasional glutathione.
I'm not sure what H2O2 is going to do for that, hydroperoxide.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
It was good for my pinky when I first cut it on the mandolin.
Right. Okay.
As the ENT, ear, nose, and throat doctor, is looking at a large lump on my thyroid and a vocal cartilage red spot. Otherwise, I'm very healthy.
Extraneous information.
Right.
They'll run that down and see if it's a problem. So what do you do when you have
50% blockage of the carotid?
Basically, so 50% they don't do anything, but when it gets to be like 90%, then they'll put in a stent. It's important to understand the basis of this with this person. We would look at their risk factors. Do they have elevated homocysteine, Lp(a)? Do they have a bad cholesterol to HDL ratio? Do they have
oxidized LDL?
Particle size that's not good? Mm-hmm. Do they have oxidized LDL? You know, we would do an analysis to see how they got there, and then we would attack those risk factors.
Yeah.
Is there a single diet that will do? Well, you know, you might achieve benefits from being on a total ultra-low-fat vegan diet. You might achieve benefits from being on a keto diet at the other end of the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And be careful if you're gluten-free, Thelma, and you're eating a lot of gluten-free processed foods like breads. Often those ingredients are junkier.
We don't know anything about her blood sugar, her height and weight, fat distribution. And then there are genetic factors that we sometimes assess for patients to see how they got there.
Yeah. Important information. So, Thelma, you would need a full workup.
Yeah.
See what's going on there.
It's funny because that question that they want us to answer in this format is kind of the basis for which a lot of people come for a detailed analysis that will involve, us both sitting down with them and questioning them for, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then we would do testing, and then we would reconvene and say, well, here's some clues as to why you got there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's attack these things one by one and slow the progression. I agree with chelation. I'm not entirely enamored of hydroperoxide for this. Is glutathione helpful for,
detox?
Glutathione, maybe for detox, but it doesn't make plaque go away.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, she says she has problems with garlic. I like kaolic aged garlic extract as a supplement for plaque. I like absolutely vitamin K2, MK7 vitamin K2, because that is the demonstrably reduces calcific deposition in the arteries.
Yes. And the dose on kaolic is 2 twice daily.
And she's not on a statin. I mean, I would imagine that a person like this would be urged to go on a statin because they evinced some progression to atherosclerosis.
Yeah.
That would be the conventional recommendation, but I guess she's under the care of a holistic doctor who's not enamored of statins. I might not get in the way of her being on a statin for prevention.
We'd look at inflammation.
Aspirin.
Yeah. Yeah. Aspirin, high sensitivity, C-reactive protein.
Measuring
that is important as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things here to look at, Thelma, before determining what type of diet. It's where you're...
So you've heard the workup. The element that's missing is you.
Yeah! You could call our office. Oh my gosh. Thelma, thank you for that. We hope you feel better soon. All right.
She doesn't feel bad.
She's generally healthy.
Problem. It's a silent problem.
It is a silent
problem. Until it becomes a very devastating problem.
Right.
It's good that it was picked up early as a means of now forestalling problems.
Yeah. True. Lisa writes, hi, what is the deal with gummy vitamins? They used to be for kids, but now there are dozens of types for adults. How effective can they be?
Yeah, I think gummy vitamins are a way to induce kids to take their vitamins, but I don't think adults should take gummy vitamins.
No.
Because they're usually very low potency.
Low potency. They have got a lot of fillers and colors and things and preservatives we don't want you to take.
Right.
And I guess the gummies are there for people wanting a sweet treat or having trouble swallowing. But I'm always going to direct you to liquid vitamin formulations first before having a gummy.
But preferably capsules and tablets, concentrate things so you don't taste them.
Yeah.
Have you ever bit into one of the capsules, of vitamins? You ever it's very bitter and strong.
Oh, totally.
And that's why you want it to bypass your mouth. You want it to go right into your digestive tract to be absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
So, to get really meaningful concentrations of certain vitamins, they have to be...
Maybe people are taking gummy vitamins instead of gummy bears. So they don't have to give up their sweet tooth, right? And they're taking their gummy vitamins.
There's some good ones, though. We have a 3.5-year-old in the family, and he takes gummies that have EPA and DHA in them.
Nice.
And it's a little hard sometimes to get kids to take, you know, open your mouth, here's your cod liver oil.
Yeah.
You know, as in days past, that was sort of, you know, considered, you know, sort of...
Well, another nice formulation is Core Omega, which is like the orange flavor pudding.
Yeah, it
packet.
Comes out in like
kids like that.
It comes out in like one of those mayonnaise or kitchen or ketchup.
Yeah, those packets.
You know, you just and then you suck out the contents.
Right.
You squeeze out the contents.
I grew up on Flintstones vitamins, myself.
And you survived.
And I survived. Yeah, okay. That was fine. So yeah, what is up with the gummies? I would prefer a better formulation than any gummy formulation I've picked up, especially for adults. I've had trouble with the ingredients. There are color lakes and things like that. I suppose if you were in Europe, they use beta carotene to make something orange and red. Mm-hmm. Here they use FD and C number 40 or whatever, number 2 or number 6, something.
Carlson makes gummies for kids that are pretty clean.
Mm, that's good.
Yeah.
So always look for a clean gummy, Lisa. And I think it has to do with the quality more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. So thank you for that question.
We have time for a little quick question.
Oh, okay. Michael writes, what does Dr. Hoffman do routinely for nutrition before his workout? I take coconut oil in my coffee.
That's easy. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I think that's the best.
That's great. You don't have to fuel up for your workout.
I hydrate.
Yeah.
I think it's important to hydrate.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be a long workout, I might, you know, usually there's a little bit of instant coffee, and I might throw a little caffeine in my coffee to get like a real boost for motivation to go for like 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
But especially if I feel a little flat in the morning, I'll take a little caffeine because caffeine is ergogenic.
Yeah.
But I try not to take anything. And I think the net result of that is better fat burning.
Yes.
And
better to exercise on an empty stomach.
And also it builds my glycogen stores so I can go longer without eating.
There you go.
I find that it's interesting, and I think I've commented on this, is that I've gotten back from some pretty, you know, over the summer, some pretty nice long bouts of exercise. And I'm not voraciously hungry. And part of it is that, you know, when you're exercising, you get that sympathetic thing going where you have to sort of relax, get your heart rate down, and then the hunger comes.
Yeah, about an hour later or so.
Yeah, so.
When the adrenaline has gone down
but
a little bit.
I just enjoy doing that. If given a chance, you know, when I'm on vacation or I'm, you know, have a day off, I'll get up. Do, you know, look at my email, do a couple of things, then work out. And then I'll try and eat at like 10:30, 11, even 12.
Uh-huh.
Going as long as I can without eating.
Very good.
But hydrating.
Hydrating.
And I try to hydrate. What I hydrate with these days on the bike, you know, especially long bike rides, is really nice. It's the elemental magnesium from...
The reactive magnesium.
Reactive magnesium powder.
The powder.
From Orthomolecular.
Yes.
Which I just throw in my bottle. And it has a sweet taste from stevia, and it gives me magnesium.
Yeah.
It doesn't give me sodium, which is you kind of need to replace. I mean, if you want, you're going on a really hot day, you could put a little salt in the bottle.
Yeah.
To get some sodium, because you're depleting sodium and magnesium and potassium, your electrolyte replacement. But...
Yeah.
I don't like Gatorade because all the crap in it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, but if I'm on a, if I'm doing a, like a Olympic distance triathlon or something, I'll get something like Gatorade. I don't care for that one time because you really need.
You need something. That's a triathlon. That's the extraordinary.
Yeah.
That's something different.
You know, I'll have like two water bottles on my bicycle, so I really hydrate.
Yeah. You know. Well, Michael does this. He says, I take coconut oil in my coffee, then I fast until noon.
Okay.
On the golf course, I start to run out of gas after 15 holes. Should I add more coconut oil in my coffee, or is there something
I have no idea
I could do?
But, you know, I mean, he needs to get his heart checked.
Yeah, out of gas on a golf course.
He needs to get, you know, that right up front, he needs to get his heart checked. Presumably, that'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, frankly, it's fatiguing, you know, and fatigue is a sign that, you know, you've reached your limits.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, get checked out. Michael. Wow. All right.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. We crammed a lot of questions into today. We're out of time. We encourage you to send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. You can also call 877-726-8255. That's the number for my radio show. Even when we're not on, you can record a question, and we use those recorded questions on the air. So a lot of ways to get questions to us on our website at drhoffman.com. There's a little box on the right side on your PC or Mac. If you click on that box, it'll also prompt you to record a question. So we are in the business of answering questions, a lot of which ways.
Yay. Thank you, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Layla. We'll be back next week with more of our weekly Q&A with Layla. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.